Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Focus with me on that phrase, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And this is in some way a definition of salvation. Because he says right there, before, you're servants of sin. Now, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, and you're made free from sin. So, the only thing between being servants of sin and free from sin is obeying from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You know, it's important to know that salvation is doctrinal.
That's right.
It has to do with doctrine. It has to do with truth. There are a lot of people nowadays that will say we need to put less importance on doctrine so as not to divide, so as not to compromise the great move of the Holy Spirit in our day and age, put less importance on doctrine and start putting more importance on other things, such as unity, such as social issues. Less importance on doctrine. And yet when you come right down to it, doctrine is what saved us. Doctrine is what makes the difference between salvation and being lost in sins. It's doctrine. When someone tells you doctrine's not that important, watch out. It's important to them. Your doctrine isn't important to them, but their doctrine is. We were preaching in, I guess it was Leon because it was a long time ago. Fella comes up to me and says, all you're trying to do is divide. I said, no, sir, I'm trying to unite us all. No, no, all you're trying to do is divide. I said, no, I'm trying to unite us all. Well, you're telling me you're trying to divide the Catholic Church. I said, I don't think we'd be divided if you'd just agree with me. Man, they were upset because I didn't agree with the Pope. I said, well, we could be unified. All the Pope has to do is admit he's wrong.
Amen.
He could come on my side and we'd be together. We'd be unified. See, I'm trying to unify us. If they say that doctrine's not important, obviously they got something to hide.
That's right.
Because it's important to them. How come the Mormons aren't giving up their doctrines?
That's right.
How come the JWs aren't giving up their doctrines? Why aren't all the weird sects out there giving up their doctrines? Why is it that they all keep their doctrines? I mean, Muslims keep their doctrines, don't they? Isn't that what God said over there in the prophets? He said, man, my people have given up the good stuff. When have you heard of this in any other place? He said in the isles of the sea, the pagans, they don't give up the good stuff that they have. They don't give up their doctrines. They don't give up their gods. But you've committed two evils. You've forsaken the right way and you've gone the wrong way. You give up the well of living waters and you hew out for yourself broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what I've noticed? And that's that Christians are deceived into giving up sound doctrine, setting aside good, sound doctrine that is able to save the soul. And it's all because of some perception that maybe if we give up something, we'll accomplish something in this life. Maybe if we give up something that's dear, some doctrine that is dear to us, maybe by unity, maybe by some human wisdom, maybe by political joining together and becoming a solid block of Christianity, that somehow we'll accomplish something in this world. But you know, it doesn't matter how much ecumenism, how much they get together, how many people get together, they're not going to save this world.
Amen.
You know what will save this world? Doctrine. The doctrine that was delivered us. That same doctrine that you find in the New Testament.
Amen.
That's what will save the soul. Notice it's doctrine, not signs. Salvation is not about signs, even though salvation came with signs. I mean to tell you, it came with signs. It came with miracles. It came with all kinds of things happening. I mean, they were speaking in tongues, and they were having power over devils, and they had all kinds of things. You know, great mighty rushing wind, earthquakes. I mean, doors of jails were opened. All kinds of signs came when the Lord brought this doctrine. But the salvation is not the signs. It's not signs. Even the Bible says that after they see the signs, they won't believe. He said, I'll speak to them with a people of other tongues. They'll be impressed, but they're going to fall backward. They won't believe. And then it'll be unto them line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, that they'll fall backwards and be damned. Why? Because they won't believe the signs, but then the Bible's going to be all they've got. What? Doctrine. Just plain outright doctrine. Did you know that God has His own doctrine? God has His own teaching. And you want to know just how much there is to learn? Look how thick that book is. Why did He go to so much trouble to make such a thick book? Because it's not simple. It's not just one little unifying idea. It is a tremendous amount of truth that God wants us to understand. And He says that by understanding this doctrine, by knowing the truth, that's what saves your souls. It's doctrine. It's doctrine, not feelings. You can feel good or you can feel bad, and that makes no difference in your salvation. Amen. You can feel saved and you can feel lost, and that's not what makes you saved or lost. A lot of people feel or think that they're saved according to their feelings. A lot of people who are lost think they're saved because they feel. They feel like they must be saved. I talk to people all the time who have no evidence whatsoever that they're saved, that they've given themselves to God. No evidence whatsoever. But they just came out of Mass and they feel good. So they feel like they must be right with God. They must be. How could God be angry with me? You know something, I was talking to a fellow and he said, you know, I believe in God. I said, well, are you right with God? Well, you know, I think I am. Well, why? Well, because He's so good to us. He's so good to me. He takes care of me. And I know He's on my side. I said, well, what if you're being deceived? Well, what do you mean? I said, well, then why is there so much sickness in the world? Why is there so much death and disease? Why is there so much tribulation? How come God allows all this? He never lets any of that happen to you? Well, yeah, some of it happens to me too. Well, then your entire basis for thinking you might be right with God is because He does good things for you. And yet you're just saying with your own mouth He does bad things to you also. That's not a very good basis to say I'm okay with God. It's not feelings. It's doctrine. Well, do you think there's an easy way around it? Somehow there's an easy way of getting to the truth without actually having to learn doctrine? You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's what a Christian is. One who's obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered us. Now just compare the doctrines that we're talking about, these Bible, New Testament principles, and notice it says the form of doctrine. It's not just any one little doctrine or even just a set of group of doctrines. It's that form of doctrine. These are the general principles of the New Testament. Something that you can find without mistaking if you read the New Testament with a clear and ready mind. You'll find it, you won't be mistaken, and you can read almost any Bible out there and come up with the same exact conclusions. What are the teachings of the New Testament? These are the doctrines which if you believe, if you obey from the heart, you'll be saved. Compare them to the self-centered doctrines of men. Self-centered doctrines of men. This isn't the kind of doctrine we've received, but this is what the Bible compares it to constantly. For example, the self-justifying doctrines of men that Jesus constantly was comparing. You all are trying to justify yourselves. You come up with all kinds of works and sacraments and little things that you do only just to justify yourself. That's not the doctrine He's talking about. See, the talking about works and talking about sacraments and talking about justifying yourself through some, like the Pharisees, they would pay tithes or they would wash their hands often and they would leave out the weightier matters of the law, such as mercy and faith and truth, all of these, and judgment, all of these things that they should have done, Jesus said. Self-justifying doctrines. How about self-exalting doctrines? Like Jesus mentions, talking about the Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans, we assume that what it's talking about is because the word itself means having dominion over the laity, over the people. This clergy-laity system where some people are exalted over others. Some people wear vestments and habits. Some people make themselves out as different. Some people lord themselves up over everyone else in order to be called reverend and priest and father and other things. These are just self-exalting doctrines. That's not what the Bible taught us. That's not what Jesus taught us. That's not what the apostles taught us. That's not what you find in the New Testament, and that's not the doctrine that'll save your soul. How about the self-enriching doctrines? Boy, there's a whole lot of people out there that they come up with some pretty good doctrines, and what it really is aimed at is lining their own pockets. They're out to get rich, and they want your money. You say, well, how do we know who they are? Because they all preach on money. Oh, you know who they are. You can tell when somebody's after your money and making up doctrines that help them get rich. Man, come on, what about purgatory? Can you come up with some other reason that, you know, what in the world are you talking about? Prayers for the dead? Just lining the pockets. This is not hard to prove. Just go see how it is. We had a fella named Manuel. I've talked to him about it before, but you know, when he died, he had gotten saved. Before he died, they tried to get the priest over there, and the priest is not allowed to hear the confession of one who denies being Catholic. That's not allowed to bless him and do all that stuff. That's against their rules. But he was willing to for a price. And he came over there, and that Manuel ran him off, said, get lost. I'm saved. I've already done my confession. I'm right with God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to die, but I'm going to go to heaven. He told that to his family. Well, you know, after he died, the family said, well, do a mass for him anyway. You're not allowed to do mass for people who aren't Catholic. These priests know that, but he was willing to for 400 pesos. And he did for 400 pesos, lasted about 10 minutes. Something's wrong with self-enriching doctrines.
Amen.
These self-centered doctrines of men. What about self-gratifying doctrines? Makes you feel good. People having itching ears. You know, it feels a whole lot better if we don't have to talk about hell. But we didn't make up hell.
Amen.
I didn't invent hell.
Right.
I didn't make up that doctrine. I just read about it. I just listened to what Jesus had to say talking about hell. He said it was a scary place that you don't want to go. He said you'd be better off walking around maimed and blind and halt all through this life rather than go to that place.
Amen.
He said fear that more than anything else. Don't fear him that can kill the body. Fear him that after he has destroyed the body, he can destroy both soul and body in hell.
Amen.
Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I didn't make it up. Where do I get off to thinking that I can make it a little easier on us? We don't have to talk about that. Somebody said, well, I don't want to play God anymore. Well, you should have never been playing God in the first place.
Amen.
Just listen to God and repeat what he had to say.
Amen.
These are the doctrines that save men's souls. God didn't invent hell just to make us feel bad. He invented hell, he said, to make men fear him.
Amen.
And the best thing in the world that can happen to a man is that he begin to fear God.
Amen.
And fear hell. Self-centered doctrines of men. What about satanic doctrines? Do you know the devil's got doctrines? That's interesting, isn't it? You know, the devil's a religious, he's a religious person. The Bible says that he appears as an angel of light. And it's no mystery if his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. Sure, they're gonna come. I mean, my goodness, if they're wanting to fool you, they're not gonna dress up in Satan outfits. They're gonna wear habits. They're going to look very holy. They're going to incline their heads when they pray, and they're gonna look real good. These are satanic ministers, the Bible says. They pretend to be righteous, but they are not righteous.
That's right.
Well, what are satanic doctrines? You know, God was so good as to actually give us some examples. How about prohibiting marriage?
That's right.
That's what it says.
Right.
Doctrines of devils, and they'll forbid them to marry. Well, how's that? Who forbids anybody to marry? Oh, my. Now we're going to get the name calling. Just the Roman Catholic Church. That's the only one. What other one? I don't know of any other one that forbids marriage. That's the only one. Priests can't get married. The Pope can't get married. Nuns can't get married. Monks can't get married. Satanic doctrines.
Amen.
How about abstaining from meats? Oh boy. These are satanic doctrines. The Bible says they'll command you to abstain from meats. Satanic. Demonic. Doctrines of devils. Speaking lies with hypocrisy. That's what the Bible says. We're not making this up. We're not just trying to be critical. We're not trying to become isolated. We want everyone to believe these doctrines.
Amen.
It's not that we want to be small and make everybody else run away. No, we want everyone to come. We want to fill this place out. We'd like to have hundreds of these type of churches preaching the same exact doctrine all over San Antonio.
Amen.
But not at the expense of sound doctrine that's able to save the soul.
Amen.
How about strange doctrines? You know, the Bible talks about strange doctrines. You ever heard any strange doctrines?
Yeah.
Whoo, boy. I had one Mormon one time tell me that Jesus and Satan were brothers. Boy, I have to think about that one. Jesus and Satan were brothers? Jesus said, I have nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
They're not even alike at all.
Yeah,
they're completely different. Well, how about, you know, somebody invited us. We're going to have this revival. And you know something, what we found out at that revival? These people were barking in the spirit. Barking in the spirit. How about the ones you've seen over there? They're laughing in the spirit. You talk about weird. Man, I sat there and you listen to them, and they start laughing. Everybody, somebody over there starts laughing. Somebody over here starts, boy, you know, you get these chills up and down your spine. You think, I got to get out of here. Something's really weird about this.
Amen.
Man, compare Bible doctrine to that.
Right.
You ever had somebody try to heal you and actually knock you over the other bench? I've actually seen it done. It's an incredible thing. The man just wanted to get prayed over, and the man comes up to pray over him and went, pow, just like that, knocked him over the bench. And before he could get up, he did pow to his wife, knocked her over, and everybody had to hold him down before he knocked that preacher over. He shouldn't have touched that man's wife. It was a big man that he knocked over. Man, he come to me and says, I ain't never going back there again. Yeah, I say, bro, that's probably a wise decision. Strange doctrines. Man, some churches get things. It's like the local church was always chanting, you know, said, oh, Lord Jesus. No, say it like this. Oh, Lord Jesus. Whoa, what's going on? What are we talking about?
Amen.
Well, you're eating Jesus. Let's eat him. Let's eat him. I don't know what you're talking about.
Amen.
Talk my language and maybe I'm with you. But talk some other language. Man, it's a strange doctrine. That's not the Bible doctrine. That's not what I read.
Amen.
How about silly doctrines? I was having an excellent conversation with a person in Aguascalientes, right there on the street, dealing with them, and some guy come up there and tried to help me out. He was a Church of Christ, and he kept on saying, tell her about the music. What? Tell her about the music. You know, how we're not supposed to have music. I said, well, where does the Bible say that? He said, well, right over there in Habakkuk or Hosea, or I don't know where it was, Micah, or one of those where the Lord says, I'm going to take away your music, your musical instruments. I read that. Well, I still don't know what that means. Can't you show me something in the New Testament? No, he said, that's it. I said, okay. Finally, I said, just hold it a minute. And I tried to finish the gospel with this person. Then I go over to him and said, what are you talking about? Are you a Christian? What are you talking about? He said, well, you know, we're not supposed to have musical instruments. I said, well, first of all, if the Bible said that very clear, it wouldn't have been the most important thing to say at that moment. I was trying to get the person saved.
Right.
And I said, second of all, I think you're nuts. I don't think that's even important.
Amen.
Silly doctrines. Not our doctrines. Not these doctrines of the Bible, the New Testament principles that transform the mind and change men's hearts and completely give them liberty over sin. It's not weird things happening to you that get you over your sin, that get you over the death penalty, that get you over the destruction and condemnation that's coming. It's truth.
Amen.
It's doctrine. What is the form of doctrine delivered us? What are these New Testament principles? I can't tell them all, even in one message. But I'm going to give you just an overview of a few of these New Testament principles that every Christian takes from the heart and obeys from the heart, and it's made a difference in their lives. Number one, Bible authority.
Amen.
This is New Testament doctrine.
That's right.
You don't believe the apostles? You've rejected Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I talked to this homosexual nut downtown. He didn't tell me he was a homosexual until I'd wasted about 30 minutes with him. I didn't realize where he was coming from, and I was trying to deal with him as a sincere person, and he was just trying to humiliate me in front of other people. Well, I talked to him. Anyway, I dealt with him for a little while, and when he finally admitted where he was coming from and what he was trying to defend, I told him, I said, well, the Bible says that that's wrong, that that's sin, and that's all I've got to say about it. And he said, well, Paul says that's wrong, but not Jesus. I said, what are you talking about? He said, no, it's only Paul. Paul is the one that tells us that's wrong, not Jesus. Jesus never says anything about it. I said, well, Jesus said not to fornicate, and that's fornication, right? Well, yeah. Okay, then. That's enough.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. We have no clue what Jesus said except by the apostles' word.
Amen.
Jesus didn't write a book. I don't have any original documents of Jesus. It's all the apostles' word. It's Matthew that said Jesus said that. It's John that said that Jesus said that. It's Mark that said he got it from somebody that says that Jesus said that. You either have to believe the apostles' doctrine or you might as well not call yourself a Christian.
Right.
What's the point? You're going to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I just don't believe the Bible. Nuts. I don't know where you come up with that. You know, somebody says, well, you know, the Bible might be wrong. I've actually had people trying to defend the doctrine of Mary veneration, and tell me that, well, the Bible might be wrong. Can you find any other book, any other where, any type of original source whatsoever that tells us about Mary?
That's right.
It's just the Bible.
That's right.
It's just these apostles. That's all we've got. You know, Christians, they know what it is. They know that we have to submit to what the apostles said. They know what the meaning of first-hand witnesses that did not profit from their testimony.
Amen.
We know the value of that.
Yeah, amen.
Christians don't believe the Pope.
Amen.
They don't believe Muhammad either.
That's right.
Muhammad can have all his opinions he wants. Say Jesus didn't die on the cross, go ahead. He lived 600 years after him. How in the world is he supposed to know?
That's right.
He wasn't there. He didn't take a pulse. Say what he wants. The apostles said he died on that cross.
Right.
And he rose again from the dead. We don't believe Moroni.
Amen.
Let Moroni say whatever he wants.
Amen.
We don't believe him. We don't believe the Watchtower magazine either.
Amen.
You know, you have your meeting around, built around a Watchtower magazine. You ain't a Christian.
That's right.
There's something wrong with a person that has their meeting built around something besides the Bible. Because Christian New Testament doctrine that was delivered us is that we are His witnesses. God chose us to be witnesses to the people, and you believe us or you're rejecting Jesus Christ. It's New Testament doctrine. Another New Testament doctrine is repentance.
That's right. Amen.
All the way through the New Testament.
Amen.
What was the first word Jesus preached? Repent.
Amen.
Repent! That's what John the Baptist came preaching. That's exactly what Peter said. Repent! First thing. What am I supposed to do? Repent!
Amen.
You can't disagree with God and be a Christian.
That's right.
Where do you think? How is this possible? You can't disagree with the Mosaic law and be a Christian. How can you disagree with God's law? How can you disagree with the book of Genesis and the book of Romans and disagree with the book of Revelation and toss out the last 12 verses of the book of Mark? How can you disagree with God? The first thing they said was repent. This is New Testament doctrine. And if you obey from the heart this doctrine, you get saved. Salvation. What a word. You know, the Bible talks about salvation. Religious people don't really believe it exists. Salvation means I'm saved. I'm not hoping to be someday to deserve it. I'm saved.
Amen.
I am saved. I am forgiven. I have been washed in His blood. I have been born again. I have it now. Eternal life given to me as a free gift. Salvation. He didn't say you have obeyed from the heart and someday that might work out for you. He said being then now made free from sin.
Amen.
Now reconciled to God. That's what the Bible talks about. Salvation. You want to be saved? It talks about salvation. How? By obeying from the heart that form of sound doctrine which was delivered you. Christians claim to be saved. It's not pride. How often people misunderstand. You think you don't sin? But that's not what I said. I said I'm saved.
Amen.
Oh, you think you're better than I don't even think I'm good. I don't even think I'm good. I'm a sinner, but I'm saved. How is it that people misunderstand even the word when we say we're saved? But that's the form of sound doctrine delivered unto us. Christians want others to be saved. That's what the form of sound doctrine is. They're going around trying, I'll do anything to get you saved, Paul said. I'll be like a Jew if that's necessary to get you saved. I'll be like a Gentile to get you saved. What I want is you to be saved.
Amen.
How about grace, not law? Works. I mean faith, not works. Think about it. Works, law. That's Old Testament doctrine. We're talking about the form of doctrine delivered unto us. What? The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know something about Christians? They talk about grace.
Amen.
Works is just not quite so much importance in their minds. Now, I don't understand. I know that works are good, and we're not disagreeing with the Old Testament, but let me tell you something. Christians, they've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered unto us, and the form of doctrine delivered unto us was grace.
Right.
Not works. Not I'm going to be better than I was, so I'll deserve something, but grace. God gives us a free gift. Grace. You're saved by grace. Not even that's of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Christians use these Bible words like justification, propitiation, redemption, sanctification. Good words. that a whole lot of people who think they're Christians never use, don't have a clue what they mean. I talk to people all the time. I say, do you know what justification means? Not really. But I thought you said you were a Christian. Well, yeah, but well, you got to know what justification means. If you're a Christian, that's what it's all about. You say, well, I don't think you have to understand all these things to be saved. Let me tell you something. You've got to obey from the heart that form of sound doctrine which was delivered you. You cannot babies that die before they reach the age of accountability. I don't know about all of those. But I know that salvation is doctrine. You believe this form of doctrine, and that doctrine will save you. Truth saves you. Spirit. Christians are born again. We talk about the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, the rivers of living water that fill us, that make everything new, that make everything different, that gives us new life in Christ, that seals us to the day of redemption. Boy, the prophets and the apostles spoke of the Holy Spirit coming down. Jesus talked about the new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Think about it. That form of doctrine. We're talking about spiritual things. Christians have no confidence in the flesh. They don't cut themselves. Christians don't cut themselves. They don't walk 100 miles to try to please God. Because we don't have any confidence in our flesh. That's not what Christians do. You say, well, I don't know about that. I think I know some Christians that do. Don't you understand? One of the definitions of Christian is they've obeyed from the heart. That form of sound doctrine which was delivered to us. Where in the Bible did someone cut themselves to get saved? Didn't happen. Where did the apostles teach this? We don't face Jerusalem when we pray. Because God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. We don't kneel to images to pray. Because that's what God said. Don't kneel to images. That's what he said. We don't chew Jesus with our teeth. I'm sorry. Jesus said if you swallow him like that, he'll go right into the toilet.
That's right.
That's not how you get Jesus. We believe in the Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit comes and applies all of these things to us the day we believe and obey from the heart that form of sound doctrine. This is what saves you. The doctrine that they gave us. Those principles of New Testament doctrine that have changed our lives.
Amen.
Christ alone. Christians don't pray to Mary. Christians don't sing songs to Mary. I'm sorry. You don't find one song sung to Mary. They sing to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They pray to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They praise Jesus Christ. They lift up and exalt Jesus Christ, but not one word from Mary. They had their opportunities. You can't even find her mentioned in the epistles. Born of a woman. That's as close as it gets. You know something? Christians don't retrace the steps of Juan Diego. Popes do, but Christians don't. Why? Because Juan Diego, if he even existed, is not important. That name doesn't mean anything. First Indian saint? Who cares? Man, there have been Indian saints long before him. Saints are all those that believe the form of sound doctrine delivered to them. And you know one more thing, principle of sound doctrine, principle of this doctrine, this form of doctrine that was delivered unto us, talks about Christ's sacrifice. We sing about the blood. We sing about the cross. We sing about the death of Jesus Christ. We sing about the atonement. We sing about the expiation. We sing about him pouring out his soul unto death. We sing about him in Gethsemane, saying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. We'll preach about all of that stuff because this sacrifice, this Lamb of God, is the form of sound doctrine delivered to us.
Amen.
We're not too good to talk about the blood of Christ.
Amen.
We're not going to change our hymnals. Why? This is the form of doctrine that was delivered to us.
Amen.
Are you better than the apostles? You think you can somehow make it a little bit more palatable to somebody and that's going to make a difference? No, no. We like to talk about the Lord's resurrection.
Amen.
We like to talk about what he bought for us when he went to that cross. We like to think and sing and talk and rejoice in the blood of Jesus Christ, which pays for all of our sins.
Amen.
What does obeying from the heart mean? Simply, what does obeying from the heart mean? First, it means to believe. You can't obey it from the heart if you don't believe. Simply believe the doctrine that God has delivered unto us. Just believe what it says. Don't get this self-exalting doctrine where they'll try to tell you, in the original Greek, what that really means is, or in the original Greek, it wasn't even there. Just believe that form of sound doctrine that was delivered to you. Right there in your Bible. And secondly, it means to wholeheartedly endorse. Wholeheartedly endorse. obey from the heart. There aren't any half-hearteds. There's no halfway Christians. There's no secret Christians. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And you know something? That's all it takes. Jesus confess you before his Father in heaven. You've made it. All he has to do is confess you. And you've got it. That's that form of doctrine that was delivered to us. Jesus said, confess me before men. Just wholeheartedly endorse me. And I'll wholeheartedly endorse you before Jesus, before God the Father. Now who's going to accuse you if Jesus is defending you up there? Who's going to be against you if Christ is for you?
Amen.
That's salvation. That's all it's about. It's obeying from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's someone here in this room who is not saved, you know that you are not saved, and yet you want to be saved. You want to know how to get saved. You want someone to help you. The pastors are looking. Just raise your hand right now, and they'll see you, and they'll talk to you. Someone here who wants to be saved, just raise your hand, and through that, tell us that you want to be saved. Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask you to bless us in these meetings. We ask you to take your word and apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand for number 249.